We're coming up to the end of the year, and that means it's time to make decisions about year-end giving. Hi, I'm Rob West. As you make decisions about where to do some year-end giving, or if you will, it's good to understand the power of giving. Randy Alcorn joins us today with some advice to help you give just a bit more. And then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we're delighted to have Randy Alcorn back on the program today. He's the author of over 60 books on Christian living and the founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. Randy, it's a delight to have you with us.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, as you know, Randy, we're talking about 11 guidelines for giving that you've identified in the New Testament that can really help us break the power of materialism. You've taught for many years, I know Ron Blue has as well, that giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. So let's start there. Why do you think materialism is such a challenge for us, especially here in America?
Well, it's identified by Jesus as a god, a false god, an idol, mammon, you know, and that's in most translations capitalized, and rightly it should be, because it's like Baal or, you know, Moloch, or, you know, it's a false god. But in our culture, we don't think of ourselves as idolaters, of course, and yet we're told that greed is idolatry. And this is, it takes hold of our lives. And I think what happens is we keep accumulating possessions, and we live, and we're grateful to live in a prosperous culture. But what happens is we keep accumulating, and things have mass. Mass exerts gravity. Gravity holds us in orbit around it. And pretty soon, we're in orbit around our stuff, our things, our accounts, whatever it might be. And without realizing it, even Christians who desire to honor God in the way they live are just sucked into kind of the black hole of materialism.
Well, that's well said, Randy, and you're exactly right. I think then it's important, even before we get into these guidelines, to recenter ourselves on a biblical worldview of money. You actually give some preconditions to these guidelines. Why don't we start there?
Well, certainly we need to see ourselves as stewards, and, and this is the thing. I was actually speaking years ago. I was about to speak at a Kingdom Advisors Conference, and of course, I love you guys, and I love that ministry, and Ron, and everybody else, but somebody came up to me and said, "Now, please don't tell us again, God owns it all." Because we've heard that, and everybody says it, and we've all heard it. And I go, well, here's the deal. When we all start living that way, I think we'll just never say it again.
Right.
Because it's like, it's like I'm a tennis coach, a high school tennis coach, and I may say things like, you know, follow through, keep your eye on the ball. Well, you know, those things would be unnecessary, except they're vitally necessary. And this is where we are. I mean, so let's see ourselves as stewards, God as the owner, and then just realize he has entrusted money and possessions to us in order that, yes, we would use them to live, but also use them to give. And Jesus said, "It is more happy-making to give than to receive." Acts 20:35, I've written several books on happiness, and I guarantee you that Greek word makarios, which I've studied extensively, was the common word for happiness. And when we hear the word blessed, I think blessed has become to most of us more of a holiness word than a happiness word. And I think we just need to get back to the what the word actually means. It is more happy making to give than to receive.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. I love that, because it's the same word, but it's a completely different idea in our minds. And I think it does ultimately lead to the joy that Jesus was speaking about when he was telling us that we should be givers, because there's so much more that comes back to us when we give. It's not what he wants from us. It's what he wants for us. And so that's why I think this is such a critical topic. Well, Randy, when we come back from this break, I can't wait to dive into these guidelines about what does it look like to give in alignment with the New Testament so we can take the counsel of Scripture and apply it to this really vital area of our money management. Randy Alcorn here today. Much more to come just around the corner on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's the end of a week. Another week has come and gone. I'm sure it's flown by for most of us, but then the cycle begins again a few days later. Work, eat, rest, repeat. This holiday season has been quite a burden. Part of why Jesus coming is good news. It's because he's come to give us new life. This world is all about advancement, self-promotion, working to get ahead. It's simply tiring. But when Jesus was on earth, he offered a life-changing message. We hear it in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Are you tired this holiday season? Not sure if you'll make it through another day? Come to Jesus. He'll give you rest. Get daily encouragement from God's Word from Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
It's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me, my guest today, Randy Alcorn, is the author of over 60 books on Christian living. And Randy, I think I've shared this with you before, but apart from God's Word, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, your book had a profound impact on me in college that really ultimately led to me pursuing the intersection of faith and finance that I've spent the rest of my professional career at. So I'm just so grateful to you and all the extensive writing you've done on this topic.
Well, thanks for saying that, Rob.
Absolutely. You know, we're talking today about a key area of our money management. You said it well, God owns it all. We're stewards, and now money is a tool. And when we look at Scripture, what kind of leaps off the page is that it's a generosity story, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. And if we're created in his image, then we're most like him when we're giving. So what should that look like? What are those guidelines? And the first one is you tell us pretty plainly that you just simply need to give, right?
That's right. And you know, when we do things, they become a habit. If you teach your children to say thanks, the chances that they will become thankful people is greatly increased. the very verbalizing of the thing, the doing of a thing, saying thanks cultivates thankfulness. It makes perfect sense. And what cultivates generosity? Giving. You simply do it. And if you don't do it, you won't cultivate generosity. You will never become a generous person as long as you're waiting to give. And sometimes people will say, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I'm not cheerful about it, so I'm going to wait until I'm cheerful, and then I'll start giving. Well,
right.
Don't hold your breath, because it's not going to happen. You know, you have to give and then discover the blessings of generosity, not only the contentment that comes with obeying God, but also the happiness that comes, as we said, for Jesus saying, it's more happy-making to give than to receive.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Well, that takes us to the next one, which is to give generously. What does that look like for us?
Well, I think everybody has to evaluate, you know, how much are you giving now? And if you are giving 50% of your income away now, which some people do, and some people are at a place where they can give 90% of their assets away, well, then for you, you don't want to go backwards. You want to go forwards. And if God opens the door and keeps blessing you and more comes in, then give all the more. For other people, they've never tithed. The idea of tithing is unthinkable to them. And I've had long conversations. I know you have too with people. And what I always say is the tithe is not a pinnacle. It's just a starting place. That's all it is. And God called upon his poorest people in Israel, farmers and everybody else that we would consider even lower class in terms of income, and had three different tithes for them, but one in particular that would be parallel to what we have in the church, which is supporting your pastors, the work of your church, missions and all that. And then give above and beyond that. But I would say to people who haven't tried it yet, this is not legalism. If you don't want to start at 10%, that's perfectly fine. Start at 11% or 12%. Whatever you want to do, just do it. It's not legalism. It's just simply saying, well, if this is what God expected of his poorest Old Testament saints, and I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God, and I live in the wealthiest country in human history, it would seem that I probably don't want to start below where they were.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. And it leads us to this next point, and that is to give regularly. What is it about systematic giving that's so important?
Well, I think when we're in the habit of it, I mean, you think of the things in life that you do. I'm an insulin-dependent diabetic, so I have to check myself. I have to actually look at my phone, see what my blood sugar is before I start an interview, because by the end of the interview, I don't want to be making no sense whatsoever. I mean, that will happen to me if I don't examine myself. The regularity of checking my blood sugar is huge. The regularity of brushing your teeth, the regularity of showering or shaving or whatever it is, just cultivates the thing itself. So if you give regularly, you'll have an eye for giving. And that regularly, maybe once a month at your church. And I know a lot of people have the automatic, you know, taking it out of your account and that sort of thing. I do think there's a little bit of a danger in that, because you can kind of become less conscious of the fact that you're actually giving. But in any case, then your eyes are open. When I walk into a store, my eyes are usually alert to somebody that looks a little bit needy. There have been a number of times where I've offered to buy something for somebody, whether it's a water bottle or whether it's a little something to eat, or, you know, and it just cultivate it. The more you give, the more you're aware of giving. And remember, grace, God's grace toward us is giving. Grace means giving. So the grace of God toward us, which is like lightning, is supposed to produce thunder in us. And that thunder is the thunder of our giving back to him and to others.
Oh, wow. That's so helpful. All right, Randy, the next guideline is to give sacrificially. This, of course, models the most famous giver in the New Testament. We don't know her name, but we know she was a widow that gave out of her poverty, right?
Exactly. So she has this coin or two little coins or whatever that she puts in to the offering, and Jesus is watching her and uses her as a model for the disciples. And he's not using wealthy people as the model, you know, but he, knowing everything, says she has given all that she has. And he knows that God's special blessing will be attached to this great act of generosity. And so she is in Scripture itself. That's like the Hall of Fame. When you make it into Scripture for good reasons, there's other reasons people make it into Scripture that are not so good. But in her case, it's like, wow, she's the model of giving. And by the way, the model of church giving is in 2 Corinthians 8. When you have the northern Greece and southern Greece, Macedonia and Achaia, and you have the model of the Macedonian saints who gave out of their poverty to the famine relief offering in Jerusalem, and they are the most famously noted church for their giving, and it says they were actually living in poverty when they did that giving.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. Unfortunately, we've only got about 45 seconds left. Randy, finish with this guideline of giving worshipfully. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think when we think of who God is and then in contrast who we are, we just need to focus on his grace and the fact that to become like him, to be godly, to become Christ-like is to give as he gives. And the more we give, as long as it's from a right heart, not showiness, but worship of him, we will become more like him the more we give.
Wow, that's powerful. Well, Randy, we're going to have you back because there's so much more I want to talk about, but I'm so thankful for you and your ministry, your friendship, and thanks for being here today as well.
You bet. Great to be with you, Rob.
All right. That's Randy Alcorn. He's founder and director of Eternal Perspective Ministries. You can check out their excellent work in sharing the gospel and expanding God's kingdom, including a lot of writing on money and possessions in light of biblical wisdom at epm.org. That's epm.org. All right. Back with your questions just after this. The number 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. Thegodwhospeaks.org.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Bert Harper served as a pastor for decades.
There's always much discussion about a pastor's responsibility and freedom to be involved in the political process. With the declining moral climate in America these days, many pastors are wondering if it's time to be more involved. I would like to share some thoughts with you.
Tap into the insight of Bert Harper when you read the article, Preaching Faithfully in Critical Times, at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543.
866-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. What a joy to have Randy Alcorn with us today. He's one of my financial writing heroes. He's written a number of books on this topic, and I'd love for you to check it out. Money, Possessions, and Eternity, as I mentioned, was one of the foundational books that really shaped my thinking on this topic. You can check that out, or one that's a little shorter. It's kind of a condensed version of Money, Possessions, and Eternity called Managing God's Money. Either of those would be a great read or a gift as you head toward Christmas. All right, let's take your calls today. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's begin today in Ohio. Lisa, how can we help?
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking my call. You do such an amazing job. And I was just listening. You were talking about how we have to give from our hearts, and it makes us happier to give, which is so true. We have a big homeless problem in the United States and in Ohio, and I drive and I go to this particular intersection, and there's always a homeless person there with a sign, and they're in need. And sometimes, you know, I give to them and it just makes me feel so good, but then other times I'm like, are they going to use that for drugs? Or, but then I think to myself, boy, I'm being really judgmental because I don't know their situation, and that's not my place to judge them.
Yes.
So I feel like I should give to them. But what are suggestions? I mean, set me straight on that.
Yeah.
Because I need your direction.
Yeah, it's a great question. And I so appreciate the heart behind it. And I think, you know, we need to be prayerful anytime we're considering support. You know, this is a particularly difficult one because, you know, often we can be feeding an addiction in a case like that. Statistics show the last ones I've seen recently, you know, somewhere between, you know, 60% and as high as 90% of homeless have addiction problems. And, you know, so that, you know, is one of those situations where helping can actually hurt because we certainly don't want to help to drive that forward. And yet, you know, we do want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so I think you need to, first of all, pray and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit whenever we're giving. I think, secondly, we could look for ways to give. I know I've known people that have kept, you know, energy bars in the car. And, you know, when they pull up to a stoplight at the end of the interstate, you know, and somebody's there or just driving around town, you know, they'll find a way to give them, you know, a meal without giving cash. But they're, you know, at the ready. So, you know, they can be helpful if what they're looking for is, you know, something to eat, but not, you know, either buying into, you know, where they're deceiving and just using the money for something else or supporting, you know, an addiction. And obviously that's a concern. You know, there's this other element where, and I would love for you to read the book called When Helping Hurts by Brian Fickert, because I think that's the kind of preeminent work and book on this topic. But, you know, they make the case in there, if we're not careful, we can destroy their dignity as well, because when we, you know, do something for someone that they should have done for themselves, you know, you're in a way destroying their dignity. And so, you know, you can actually make them feel worse about themselves if you're not careful. But I think the key is, you know, there are certain cases where you just may feel prompted to help. And I certainly wouldn't want to stand in the way of that. If God is leading you to give, I would say do it and trust the Lord for the outcome. But I would say, you know, always look for a way to make a gift that wouldn't perpetuate the problem. And in that case, it may be something like, you know, food rather than cash, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
That makes great sense.
Well, I appreciate thinking about this topic. I know, especially as you said, in your area, you've got a big problem with this, and obviously you want to be a part of the solution. I would check out that book if this is a topic you're interested in. Again, it's called When Helping Hurts. But, I think the key is to be intentional, be prayerful, and certainly follow the leading of the Lord. But Lisa, thanks for raising the question today. We appreciate you being on the program. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. If you have a financial question, I'd love to tackle it with you. In the news today, and unfortunately it's not good news for some small business owners, the IRS is sending out 20,000 rejection letters to small business owners who claim the Employee Retention Credit, the ERC, which was worth thousands of dollars for each employee. You've probably gotten a lot of spam about the ERC. There's a lot of folks trying to capitalize on that. This was one of several pandemic-related tax breaks, but many business owners who applied likely weren't qualified. And that's not entirely their fault. Small business owners were barraged with advertising the last couple of years by companies claiming they could help them apply for the credit. Well, this week, ineligible taxpayers will receive IRS letter 105C, which is a notification that their claim for the ERC has been disallowed. So be on the look for that. If that's something you did apply for, perhaps somebody convinced you you would qualify and maybe you're not so sure, just be looking for that IRS notification. Unfortunately, there's going to be a good many of them that will not go through. Taking your calls today at 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about managing God's money, often we believe financial management is more complex than it is. You know, that's why on this program, we often talk about the fact that we can simplify our financial lives into just four categories: the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. And really, within those are principles that we can apply that really do simplify the decision-making process. For instance, in the live category, we want to spend less than we earn. It's a simple idea, but not easy to do. Nevertheless, living within your means is the key to every financial success. In the O category, we want to understand that borrowing mortgages the future, that debt can be a real hardship for us. In the grow category, we want to save appropriately. We want to have a long-term perspective. And we want to make sure that we're asking the question, how much is enough? In the give category, well, we want to know that giving breaks the grip of money in our lives, and therefore we should give generously. So, you know, here at Faith and Finance, we want to try to simplify God's word and help you apply it in the financial decision-making area. So what are you thinking about today? Let's talk about it right after this break. 800-525-7000.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
God has set his heart on the person that is listening to us right now who is at the very bottom and they've lost a job, a child has died, and they don't feel like life is worth living. God has set his heart on you. Even when we're not worthy, we are worth something to God.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
As 2023 comes to a close, we are thankful for the generous and faithful supporters of FaithFi who believe in the message of financial faithfulness found in God's Word. This season, we want to give back to you. For your support, we'll send you the book, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain. For just a few more days, you can request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Start the new year by aligning God's purposes with your finances. That's faithfi.com.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today. We'll be headed back to the phones in just a moment. Anything financial is in play today. Call right now, 800-525-7000. Again, the number is 800-525-7000. You can get through right at the moment, and we can talk about whatever you're considering today, whether it's your living expenses. How do you budget? Maybe the new year, 2024, is when you're finally determined to get on a budget. Let's talk about it. Maybe you want to finally get out of debt next year. What's the best way to pay off credit cards and navigate these high interest rates right now? What about a home equity line of credit? Is that something to use? What about your credit score? And then finally, giving wisely and saving for the long term. Any of those topics and more, we'd love to tackle them with you. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and you can call right now. Before we go back to the phones, you know, this is the gift-giving season, and one of the gifts that God desires for us and has given us is the gift of abundance. You know, we see that it was God's plan from the very beginning for his creation to experience abundance. God created Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Later, God rescued Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. And over time, God's people, of course, got complacent and rebellious. They worshiped pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over in the Old Testament as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin. And that seems to be, unfortunately, the story of our time as well, doesn't it? God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment, though, in Christ, who says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross when he took our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. But then, of course, his resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. And now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So we, of course, as believers, look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately the eternal blessings in heaven. In Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." You see, the psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. That's the good news. So you can experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. You see, in Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, complete peace, the hope of heaven. We don't have to live in fear to our circumstances or what's happening around us. We already have an abundance. Our gratitude for these things should stimulate our praise and
our desire to serve and help others too. What an opportunity. And I think that's a part of faithful stewardship. And that's what we want to encourage you in each day on this program. All right, let's turn the corner and take some questions today. Your phone calls, we're ready for you. 800-525-7000. It looks like we have a couple of lines open and you can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Lois. How can I help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. How are
sure.
you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling. How are you today?
Great. Wonderful. I'm blessed. I'm calling in because I'm working from home and I have my husband. He has Social Security, but I have a medical plan that is saying that, you know, if we make a certain amount or if I have a certain amount or I don't know, it's just my medical plan, I have a tax credit. So they said, okay, well, you need to do your taxes, married filing jointly with your husband. And he has Social Security, so he's really not having a lot to claim. He has side jobs. So then since I'm working from home, I have two independent businesses. I'm self-employed, basically, but I haven't been producing to where I'm making a profit or very much income at all.
Okay.
So then, you know, we're basically living paycheck to paycheck and we're just like, what do we do? I just don't know how to do my taxes. I know that I can do write-offs if I do a 1099 because I do save receipts. So any advice would be helpful on that.
Very good. Well, your self-employment tax at 15.3% is you have to calculate your net earnings for the year. So it'd be your gross income minus your business expenses. So you're not going to pay self-employment tax on anything that's not your net earnings after your expenses. So the key for you is to have your books set up properly. And that just simply means I want you to keep your personal finances separate from your business. It doesn't have to be overly complicated, but you just need to be able to defend any of your business deductions to the IRS. And the best way to do that is not to have them commingled with your personal expenses so you can justify. So, for instance, one practical example of that might be to have a business credit card where you only put expenses for the business on that card. And then you, of course, pay it off at the end of the month. You want to be able to document any of those expenses. Another common deduction for a small business owner, especially if you're working out of your home, is you can claim a home office deduction if you've set aside a space that's used exclusively for your business. You can also deduct any supplies you've purchased for your business or phone lines. So there's a host of things that can be deducted, and that's helpful because that's going to reduce your net earnings, which is ultimately what you'll pay tax on. And then you're going to have this self-employment tax, as I mentioned, which is 15.3%. Normally, if you're a W-2 employee, half of that would be covered by your employer. As a self-employed person, you have to cover the whole thing. But again, you have the ability to take these deductions first. So I realize things are fluid. You've got money coming and going. You're living paycheck to paycheck. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I do think the key is for you to arrive at what is a realistic or conservative amount that you can expect per month. And what you may have to do is look at a 12-month period and say, okay, over 12 months, I might, have certain parts of the year where we get more, depending on what kind of work you're in. Other parts of the year, we get less. Let's figure out what we can consider to be a consistent monthly amount that we could bring in. And it could be that in those months where you have a bit more, you put some into savings. In the months that are lean, you pull it out. But we want to try to get to a place where you've got a consistent amount coming in every month so that you can build your budget around that and you're not going beyond it. And then having a good plan with regard to, your taxes so you can make your quarterly estimated payments and you're properly accounting for your deductions, I think is really important. So where would I go from here? Well, I think the key next step for you is to connect with a CPA who can really help you understand what things can be deducted, what documentation do you need, how do you set it up so it's compliant with the IRS rules and regulations, and then what do you need to be sending in on a quarterly basis. Once you've done that, then I think you can build your budget. And the goal is to get that emergency fund first, but then live within your means on what you're bringing in. You can do it. Lois, thanks for calling. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We've got some calls holding. We'll get to those in just a moment. But first, it's Friday. Jerry Boyer's here to weigh in on the markets and the economy. And Jerry, there's some economic news out today in the labor market, perhaps more than that. Break it down for us.
Yeah, I think it's mainly the labor market. I think that's something we need to pay a lot of attention to because the Fed pays a lot of attention to it. The Fed pays a lot of attention to it too because as we've talked about a number of times before, the Fed thinks that low unemployment causes inflation because they think if there's low unemployment, that means that we have the bargaining power as employees and that we're going to push up wages and that somehow that causes inflation. That's wrong, but they think it. So investors have to know their wrongness to know how they're going to react. Just like if you're in a kind of a dysfunctional relationship with somebody and you know they're going to react in the wrong way to something, but you still have to take it into account. You know, we see a lot of that around the holidays sometimes.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it has to make sense. It just means that's the way they think. So we have to kind of navigate around it. Okay, well, we're in a dysfunctional relationship with our central bank. Our central bank thinks, oh, good news. We didn't have much job growth in November. Isn't that great? That means we beat inflation. In fact, I'm looking at the Wall Street Journal right now. Most important question in markets, is inflation licked? And that's in the section under, you know, under the weak job growth. So what's that mean? That means that the bad news of low job growth turns into good news in markets because if the Fed thinks we're winning. This is good. Therefore, we don't have to fight inflation. Therefore, we can turn on the money spigot again. So the markets are indicating Fed's going to start cutting, believe it or not. They're going to start cutting. They're going to declare a victory march or I guess a victory lap on inflation and, you know, cut probably early next year, which means, of course, if they're not worried about inflation, we should be. It's their job to worry about inflation. If they're not, we should be. And that's one of the reasons that gold is up something like $70 this month, because this is a month where basically the Fed has been signaling, oh, we might actually have won this fight against inflation. Of course, I don't think they did. I think that we have a really slow growth economy right now. And when you have a slow growth economy, people get a little frightened and they don't buy as much. That's not really beating inflation because it's very temporary. As soon as the economy speeds up again, the prices pop back up again. So that's a very temporary effect of stagnation. It's not really beating inflation. But that's how they think, and that's why markets are reacting the way they are, because we know how the Fed thinks.
Yeah, interesting. Well, that's really helpful, Jerry. And I think, you know, it obviously speaks to where we're headed from here. You mentioned gold. You know, what's been interesting is, I mean, we may have just today jumped above it. I haven't looked, but, you know, we're still below where we were in August of 2020. And you might have thought with all the fear and the inflation and the uncertainty that gold would be through the roof. But gold is particularly interest rate sensitive, right? Because it doesn't offer a yield. So when rates are up, people are saying, well, maybe I shouldn't be in gold. Maybe I should be in other things, treasuries, right?
Yeah, I can go in treasuries or I can go in CDs and I can get a decent return. And it's quote unquote riskless. And it's not volatile like gold. I mean, one of the reasons that we see, we had that spike in gold before. Well, what's happened since then? Well, since then, the Fed has raised interest rates a lot. So that's why gold went down. But now, of course, markets think the Fed is done raising interest rates and probably the next move is a cut. And that's why gold is going up. By the way, that's probably the reason why Bitcoin has gone up a lot as well. Bitcoin was sort of left for dead. I mean, think about all the scandals that we've had with Bitcoin. One of the major Bitcoin mongers in the world is going to prison. He's going to be wearing an orange jumpsuit. And you would think that would have just knocked Bitcoin out. But no. The dovish Fed, I'm not going to worry about inflation Fed, has people going to Bitcoin and to gold. And Bitcoin and gold are kind of the same thing. They're both really disaster hedges. They're both hedges against a dollar collapse or a currency crisis. And in essence, I have a friend who told me his younger friends call gold, boomer rocks. it's actually Chuck Bentley from Crown.
Yeah.
So young people hedge against disaster with cryptocurrency, and older people hedge against disaster, you know, with gold. Now, see, I'm kind of on the edge there, so I have both. I'm hedging with both of them. They're basically they're like hedges against hyperinflation. They're hedges against disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that for sure. Boomer rocks. That's great.
Boomer
all
rocks.
Right. All right, Jerry, there was a big meeting yesterday, Microsoft. Huh? Tell us about it.
Yeah, what was fascinating to see the annual meeting of Microsoft is that there were roughly the same number of proposals from groups that were either conservative or trying to get companies to not be left of center anymore. So a lot of these conservative groups are pushing conservative proposals, but some of them are just pushing get out of politics proposals, right?
Yeah.
And throughout, you know, the time that I've been doing this corporate engagement, our side, because that's my side, I want companies out of these non-core politics, you know, they've outnumbered us something like 10-1. 20-1 if you go back a couple of years. You know, just if we see this meeting as sort of like the early season for next spring, we have like a little mini annual meeting season at the end of the year and really starts up next spring. This is looking more like a 50-50 fight, which is just a massive change. Our side is really getting engaged. After 40 years of neglect, we saw what happened with Disney. Now, Disney's even admitting what happens with Disney with their 10K filing, saying that our political positions have hurt our relationship with customers.
Well.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you're admitting that. So Microsoft was about 50-50. And some of the interesting proposals, one was to just add viewpoint diversity protection. I mean, you can't discriminate against someone based on their race. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't discriminate on someone based on their sexual orientation. Okay, good. But you can discriminate against someone if their conservative politics don't match Microsoft's liberal politics. That's not a protected class. They need to add that as a protected class. And the other one is if Microsoft comes out and says, we're going to pay for transition surgery, including for children, but we're not going to pay for detransition surgery, or we won't answer the question, actually. They don't mention it, and they didn't answer. Well, if it's, isn't that discriminatory too? Is it only discriminatory to be, you know, is if you don't want someone to change their gender, that's discriminatory. But if that same person says, I made a mistake, I want to undo what I did, I'm having terrible side effects. No, you know, we're not going to pay for that. It's a one-way street that we'll pay for. Or they at least they're only admitting to paying for trans, and in their statement in response to this proposal, which says you're not covering detrans, they didn't contradict that. We asked a question about it, they didn't answer. So I think the working assumption is they're only paying for you to change your gender. They're not paying for you to restore your gender, which it seems to me is discriminatory according to their own standards. And also legally pretty risky, and certainly reputationally risky. This is 80-20 stuff in American opinion polls, the idea of children changing their gender with medical procedures. It's not a close call. And they shouldn't be involved with this culture war issue at all. But if they are, they shouldn't be on the wrong side.
Absolutely. And the good news, Jerry, is that these conversations are being had in large numbers where they weren't previously. Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, in these annual meetings, since I've started appearing on your show, I've heard a lot of voices I've never heard before when they take voice questions. So, you know, there's a lot of conservative activists are engaging, asset managers who aren't activists, but just want to protect their clients. You know, be fiduciary to their clients. You know, we're engaging, but also just ordinary people, like people listening to us right now, are engaging and logging on and asking questions. It's an amazing thing to see. Yeah, it really does.
Excellent. Well, Jerry, we appreciate you, buddy, and thanks for stopping by today, giving us an update. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Same to you. God bless.
All right, that's Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday on this broadcast. All right, quickly to the phones. Michael, you've been very patient, sir. How can I help you there in Texas?
You talk a lot, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You talk a lot about qualified charitable distributions.
Yeah.
And also charitable gift annuities. Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. I am on the, I'm a new board member of a cemetery that is actually hurting financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, how do you set these up for some of these people that are still there taking care of their family headstones and so forth?
Yeah.
That would like to help in that way.
Yeah. So you'd like to be able to accept these gifts. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Very good. You know, you absolutely can do it. So, you know, as a 501c3 not-for-profit, you would be able to accept qualified charitable distributions. It's a little more complex to set up the ability to begin receiving charitable gift annuities. What I would recommend is you connect with our friends at the National Christian Foundation. Michael, they would be a great resource to you to help you explain all of these things, help you understand what's possible, and work with you to get all of that set up. You'll find them on the web at ncfgiving.com. That's ncfgiving.com. I'd learn more. Thank you for your call, sir. Luther in Texas, I apologize we didn't get to you. I see your question here. Can I refinance a car already with a loan? Absolutely. I mean, rates are high right now, but I'd go to LendingTree or NerdWallet or Bankrate and start looking to see, as long as you can save at least 2 percentage points, it might make sense for you to refinance. If you have further questions, you or Scott, we'd love to get you back on the program on Monday. So our team will help you set that up. Well, folks, thanks for being along with us today. It's been an incredible week. I'm grateful for my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood. Couldn't do it without them. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.